Liz, can you tell us something about your courtship? When and where did you first meet your husband?
I met my husband at the University of Wisconsin. I'm pretty sure now, that Helen Ginsberg was going with his best friend. And he was already in medical school at the university when I went there. No, he couldn't have been there. Yes, he may have been. I am a little mixed. Anyway, he was there. And they both belonged to a fraternity, Phi Ep, I guess it was. And we went to some fraternity thing. We didn't live in dormitories. They didn't have women's dormitories in my first years up there. We lived in rooming houses, what they called approved rooming houses. And Helen and I lived in the same rooming house. And we just started going together, that's all. It's one of those things. He was from Milwaukee, and his background was very similar to mine, actually. His parents were of German origin. His father came from Germany. And we discovered that we had lived rather similar lives, one of those funny things. And we just continued going together all the time I was there, and he was there. He wasn't there the whole time because the medical school there was only 2 years. You had to go somewhere else for the rest of it. So that partway through, he went to Chicago, to Rush Medical School in Chicago, to finish up. Because I can remember going down there to visit some of my Chicago friends to see him while he was there. And we went to, you know, we did all the things in high school. We went to football games, and if there was a fire, we chased the fire engines and watched fires, and we soaked the house mother to let us in late. You know, they had curfew hours in those days. You had to be in at a certain time. I had a room on the first floor of her house, and she was fond of me. And so if we went to watch a fire or anything silly like that, she used to let us come in late. I belonged to a group that was studying segregation, of all things, in those days. There was a Baptist minister whose name was Collins, but everybody called him Shorty. He was 6 foot six. And Shorty Collins, and I don't have any idea how I got to him, but he started a group of us, black and white students, to investigate the question of discrimination, particularly in housing, I guess, on the campus at the University of Wisconsin. And I remember going to meetings at his house, and we did a lot of jabbering, and I don't think we accomplished anything very much. But I can remember walking home one day with a young black boy who was in the group, and there was a little iron fence outside the house, and we sat on it and talked. And when I went in the house mother said to me, "What would your mother say if she could have seen you sitting out there talking to that," they didn't call him black in those days, "that Negro?" And I said, I was sort of surprised. I said, "I don't think she'd say anything." The house mother was from Kentucky, and her ideas were the normal ones for those days from that area.
She wasn't as liberal.
No, and it was an interesting thing to do. As I say, I don't think we accomplished a single thing, but it was kind of fun. We did some investigating, apparently, of fraternities and sororities and whether there were black members or not black members, because the funny thing was that I can't remember black-white relationships being a bother of any kind anywhere, not in the classroom or anywhere while I was there. So what started this off, I don't know, but something did. And it's interesting.
How long was your courtship with your husband before you married?
Before we got married, well, I had met him shortly after I went there, and that must have been 27. I must have met him in 28. And we got married in 31, so what's the matter with me? 33. I'm giving us two more years. We're married in 33. He, after he finished in Chicago, he went to New Orleans. He went to Tulane for his internship, and decided after that that he was going to do the pediatrics. He was flirting between psychiatry and pediatrics, didn't know what he wanted. Decided he was going to do pediatrics, and we figured we'd been fiddling around long enough, and we were going to get married before he went to Philadelphia, before he went off somewhere else. So we did, you know, on nothing. Got married on nothing.
Were you married at home?
Yeah, married at home in my parents' home, in the living room. Dr. Goldenson married us, and Jean's best friend, the one who had been Helen Ginsberg's boyfriend, was the best man at the wedding. He and Helen weren't best friends, weren't friends anymore, but he was still Jean's best friend. Came for the wedding. His mother was in Vienna. She wasn't even here. Jean's brother, who was his only, he only had one brother, was in Vienna, and Mother Schuster had gone to Vienna to be with him. She had gone all over the place with him. She was in China with him, and she was in Vienna with him, and he never married.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she did in those days. So we talked to her long distance, and believe me, in those days, that was something to talk to Vienna. Now it's nothing, $6 or $7, but it was quite a business. But a lot of his relatives, aunts, and so on, came down from Milwaukee for the for the wedding.
Well, where did you first set up housekeeping? Was that in Philadelphia?
That was in Philadelphia, in an apartment with a card table that someone had given us for a, for a present. because my aunt lived in Philadelphia at that time, and she had come to Pittsburgh for the wedding, and so we went to her apartment. When we first got there, we didn't even have beds there. We had nothing. We had a card table and two chairs in the apartment. It was an apartment hotel, they called it. Mm-hmm. It had a desk out north of the city. No, not north. And, you know, I can't remember the directions anymore. But it wasn't in the, you know, in the downtown section. Mm-hmm. It was, though my aunt's apartment was. And so we stayed there for about a week and went and bought some beds. And then we moved in. Well, it was a living room and bedroom and a kitchenette, dinette.
Mm-hmm.
A failure for which we paid $50 a month.
Can't even
I don't
get
know
a
whether
hotel
you believe
room
it,
by the
but,
day
it,
now.
But it's true. That's what we pay. And that's everything. I mean, gas, yeah, like everything.
Mm-hmm.
$50 a month. And the desk, you know, there was a. It was remarkable. And so that's where we lived. And I went to work right away within mm-hmm. I was hired before I went down there. I mean, I knew I had the job before I went there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to work right away. And Jean was not home some of the time. He was a resident part of the time that he was there at Children's Hospital in Philadelphia. So he had nights when he didn't come home at all. And every other night he had to be on duty, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
how long did you live in Philadelphia?
We lived there 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then
and
you
then,
came back.
And
to
then
Pittsburgh.
Came back here, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you give us a description of your husband? Physical description?
He was not much, he wasn't tall. He was about 5'6", 5'7", and very dark, very straight hair. That practically he never got gray. He was not a, maybe a few gray hairs when he died.
Mm-hmm.
And he tended to get heavy after we got married. He wasn't heavy when we got married. Everybody said I fed him too well, and he put on weight. He was funny. He got a lot of joy out of life. He was very good-natured. and very easygoing and easy to please. He wasn't a fusspot about what he ate or everything was good as long as I didn't try to feed him cream stuff, cream cheese or like cream tuna fish. But otherwise, he wasn't a bit particular. A doctor's life is a funny one anyway. He's away so much of the time that it's a different kind of life. We would, for some years, we had tickets to the chamber music concerts, and we decided this was silly. We missed half of them because something would come up and he couldn't go. So we finally decided we'd better do spur of the minute things because that didn't work at all. But it's very hard to describe a person. His patients were crazy about him. They loved him. He was very caring and very interested always, not just in their physical well-being, but in their emotional well-being, because this trend to psychiatry kept up all his life, never let go of it. He was one of the first who took milk from Dr. Spock's dairy. He didn't believe in rigid schedules and in rigid types of feeding and behavior and so on. This wasn't popular in those days. This was very early. There was a book written by a man named Aldrich called Healthy Babies or Happy Babies or some such thing, in which he advocated what they called in those days demand feeding. Feeding children when they were hungry instead of every 4 hours or every 3.5, and feeding them what they wanted instead of this much or that much and this sort of thing. He did that, and when Dr. Spock came to town to work here at the Well Baby Clinics, Jean worked with him all the time that he was here. So I worked there too. I did volunteer work at the Well Baby Clinics, down at the Arsenal Health Center.
We're interested in hearing about when you started your family.
We waited a long time because we had no money. Not because I wanted to. I always wanted a family rapidly. But we didn't have enough money. So we waited until we'd been married 5 years because Ellen was born in 1939. As a matter of fact, I was pregnant once before and had a miscarriage before Ellen was born. So I got pregnant 5 years after we got married. And then Ellen was born in 39, and then we had Peter in 42, and John in 44. And I wanted another girl, but by the time John came along, I was tired. And John was a very difficult infant. I decided I didn't have the physical energy to go through another infancy. So then we quit.
Are any of your children in Pittsburgh
now? No. Ellen, my daughter, lives in Chicago, and John, the youngest, lives in Memphis, Tennessee. He's married and has my only grandchild, granddaughter, who's 17 and a half. She'll be 18 in June. My goodness, yeah. I have to remember. She's closer to 18 than she is to 17 now. Ellen was married, but was planning to be divorced when her husband committed suicide.
Oh.
It's back in 1976. She'd been married 10 years. He was a nice young man. I liked him, but he was an unstable young man. She was working for the city of Chicago, had a very good job, and she gave it up and went back to school. And she's getting a doctorate in psychology.
Was she doing any work?
Well, she's working.
Going to school?
Yeah, she takes two classes a week, works 2 days a week, and does a practicum 2 days a week or whatever time's left over at the Reed Mental Health Center or something like that in Chicago.
And the 2 days that she is working,
she works for a Jewish vocational service of some kind. I'm not sure the exact name of it. Something like that. And John works for a company called TRW. He takes care of the backs of computers, automatic banking machines, you know, the works, not the fronts,
mm-hmm.
but the works. He's a troubleshooter for things like that. He does a fair amount of traveling, not very far. I mean, he travels short distances. Right now he's down in Dallas. He called me. They sent him down to school down there to learn about some new automated banking machines that the company has stacked away somewhere and they want to start putting out and using, and they have to be repairable before before they can do that.
Yeah.
Our middle son, Peter, was killed in 1965 in a motorcycle accident. He was 22. But no, he would have been 23, he was almost 23.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a computer operator down at CMU at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And,
what about the religious background of your children?
Now there's a story. They all started out at Rhoda Schoen. As they got farther along, they began to rebel about it. Not John, I don't think he was old enough to, but Ellen and Peter did. And when we started to look at what was going on there, we discovered several things. First of all, it was quite different than it was when I was in Sunday school. They were learning Hebrew, which is all right, excuse me. The fact that they have to learn Hebrew, this didn't bother me, but apparently one teacher said to Ellen one day, you must learn Hebrew, after all, what will you do when you go to live in Israel? Well, we were not Zionists in our family. We weren't anti-Zionists, but we weren't Zionists. And the idea of a homeland was never anything much that interested anybody that I ever knew. The other thing that happened was that when she began talking about how unhappy she was and, with what she was doing there, we started to look at the books that she was being taught from, and we didn't like them at all. How the Jewish people lived, how the Jewish people grew up, I don't even remember the names, but we didn't care for them. And there were some others, including Mrs. Haber, who apparently felt the same way, and I don't remember how we got together, do you? Because I don't remember. But anyway, a bunch of us got together and decided that we didn't like the way our children were being taught, and maybe we should start our own little Sunday school. And we did. We were not welcomed happily by Rhoda Schoen. We thought they ought to consider us an experimental group and see what we did and what we accomplished and did they like what we were doing or didn't they? After all, there are colleges that have experimental pieces to them. There was one at Wisconsin when I was there. But this didn't happen at Rhoda Schoen. They considered us renegades and they were not very nice to us. We could not get space to hold our Sunday school in any Jewish organization. Why? Nobody would give us room. And we ended up, were we first at the YMCA in East Liberty, or were we?
Mm-hmm.
And then we were at the Boys Club in Shadyside. But we started out at the YMCA opposite the Presbyterian Church in East Liberty. And we taught our children ourselves. We turned ourselves into teachers.
Did you have a large group?
No, we had a small group. I don't even remember how many anymore. There were maybe half a dozen or so of us and our kids. And now some people had their children in the group and didn't teach. The Blocks, for instance, had their children there, but they didn't do any teaching. But Joan and I taught, and Lydda Garbuni was in. I don't even remember. Oppenheimer, why has her name gone? Eddie, I remember his name. Why don't I remember? Ruth Oppenheimer. And remember anybody else?
Longinis.
Oh, the Longinis, yeah. Anyway, mostly what we did was we taught history.
Wait a second.
Isn't it running?
Yes, it's running.
We taught Jewish history. We felt that they ought to know, you know, about what they were. And a lot of it was ethics, ethical behavior. And we kept it up long enough so I had a confirmation class. And I have a beautiful gold pin that my confirmation students gave me when they were confirmed. We had a rabbi come in from Philadelphia. Was he from Philadelphia or New York?
Mm-hmm.
Singer? And anyway, he came in and confirmed our children. And then it kind of died out. I guess there weren't enough left. One of the Longini children wanted the social life of Rhoda Shoham and so on. And
who was the rabbi at that time?
Well, the only rabbi we had was the one who came. Oh, you mean who was it, Rhoda Shoham?
Yes.
It was Friedhoff, wasn't it?
Sure,
sure, it was Friedhoff. He preached about us from the pulpit,
mm-hmm.
against us.
Really?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. We went in and talked to Lester Aaron, I remember that. We went
Rabbi Silver.
And Rabbi Silver. We had a conference with them and explained, you know, what we were doing and what we were trying to do. And it was a joke because remember when we were talking about the books and how we disliked them, and Lester Aaron said, so did he. I mean, you know, this, they had no quarrel apparently with the with some of the arguments we had. They weren't willing to let us try our wings a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it worked all right. For me, it did, and because in the first place, my children were older, and John was at that point religious, my youngest. The others weren't,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think cared very much. But it suited what we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
My husband had no religious upbringing at all, none. He was Jewish, but they belonged to no temple. His father had been a free thinker from Germany,
mm-hmm.
and they never belonged. They were part of the Jewish community in Milwaukee, but they never belonged to a temple.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't do as much as we did. I mean, he never was at a Seder in his life till he came here. But he, for some reason, felt that the children ought to at least see what it's like and be brought up with some knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
He was almost more influential in having me send the children to Sunday school than I was. And the Seder, he wanted to continue with it. Well, it was a wonderful family occasion. We used to have a marvelous time when I was a kid with Seders because everybody, we had 35 people, you know, everybody got together.
Mm-hmm.
By that time, by the time my children were coming along, it didn't mean very much to me. I was doing it because I felt it ought to be done.
Mm-hmm. Well, do your children have a feel for religion today?
No, not at all. Matter of fact, my son's married to a non-Jew, and they don't do anything. And my granddaughter, as far as I know, has never gone to Sunday school or anything, of any kind,
mm-hmm.
of any kind. And Ellen, of course, has never been at all interested.
Mm-hmm.
No, they have no religious affiliations or feelings that I know about.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't expect them to because I don't have very much myself. I mean, I would never feel I'm anything but Jewish, if you understand that.
Yes.
But, and I think, I find the Christianity very strange, but I don't have any beliefs of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm sympathetic to the state of Israel and wish it all the luck in the world and contribute and do all that sort of thing, I am not essentially a Zionist. I don't like exclusivity, I suppose is the word. I don't know what other word you could use. But I'm not fond of people setting themselves off in compartments.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's we continued to belong to Rhoda Shoham for a long number of years until my husband got ill and we had financial difficulties and my son was ill for years and years. Peter, the one who died, and then we stopped belonging because it just got too expensive and we weren't doing anything,
mm-hmm.
we weren't using it at all.
Where did your children go to school?
They went to Whiteman Elementary School in Alderdice, high school, all of them. And Ellen went to Carnegie Tech. Well, it wasn't CMU even then. I guess it was still Carnegie Tech. She majored in psychology there. And John didn't go to college. John, when he finished high school, had no, wasn't a scholar, didn't want to, and he went into the Air Force. Mm-hmm. And that's where he learned this computer stuff, was in the Air Force. And Peter went to Carnegie Tech. And but when he was sick and had to drop out, when he went back, instead of, he had 3 years, I guess, and decided instead of going back, he would work there for a year before he went back to finish. And that was when he began working computers. That was all he could think about, was computers. Mm-hmm. And he went to work for them.
Can you tell us about your grandchild? I'm sure she's a source of great pleasure.
She sure is. She's a very bright child. She has one, I guess she goes to college in September. You know, I lose track of time. Yeah, she graduates in June, and she wants to be a chemical engineer. And she has applied to a couple of places in Tennessee because of the cost, more than anything else. Mm-hmm. The university, State University of Tennessee, and the university in, at Knoxville, they both have courses in chemical engineering, so she's applied to both of those. She's also extremely artistic. She can do absolutely anything with her hands. I think it's the funniest combination. She made that tree over there. She made that tree for Christmas, not from a kid, I mean, from scratch. She bought those little pieces of gemstone at a gem show. The people who work in gems, when they get scraps, they polish them and sell them by the tablespoonful. And she bought a whole bunch of them, and she made that tree. Wow. And she can do calligraphy. I gave her pens for a birthday present 1 year, and I took an 8-week course in it, and I don't do very well with it. And it took her 1 week by herself, and she was doing the diplomas for the school graduation class. She just, it comes very naturally to her, but apparently it's not something she wants to do with her life. It's very strange. No. But she comes to see me. I'm very pleased, because that's a compliment, I think. When she's 17 years old and decides she wants to spend 2 weeks here with me in the summertime, I consider that a compliment.
Yes.
She goes to Girl Scout camp. She is what they call it, trainee or something, you know, semi-counselor, whatever it is, at Girl Scout camp this past summer. And one summer she went to Choate, Rosemary Hall, Choate, yeah. They had a summer program, a 5-week program from Choate.